Blog Talk Radio.
Revolutionary Life.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Gary, and I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Tonight, you guys saw, if you saw my promotion tonight, the title
tonight is just, it's God.
I think I've seen him. And I put that in quotes, guys, because I want to let you know that the way I approached seeing God was in a mathematics course, and I'll explain that to you as well.
But it's not only was mathematics,
it was ancient mathematics and pre-European mathematics, as a matter of fact. And as a matter of fact, these math equations that I'm about to talk to you about are equivalent almost to seeing all there is in the universe. And it's pretty deep, guys, yeah. But it's not a spiritual experience as much as it is a mathematical, scientific, countable, measurable experience. In a sense, measurable. As you can measure all there is. However, that seems to be a mathematical equation that if you hear it, if you use it, if you work with it every time as for any equation, I don't care what kind of math you're doing, I don't care if you're doing geometry, there is an equation that is superb foundation for working any other equation there is, and any mathematical discipline, just about. You know, algebra, geometry, calculus, working with logarithms or trigonometry, it doesn't matter. This bad boy is like all of it. It's the equation that go into any equation, any problem, mathematical problem,
to address any mathematical problem
this foundation works. And it never fails to work. How can it work with everything unless it is the source of everything? God. Y'all don't hear me, but I'm going to give you a little music. I want you to sit back. And if you love math, or if math is your toughest subject in the world, don't worry. I'm not going to go deep into math. But I'm going to work this formula with you guys. And I want you to hear about it. I want you to understand where I'm going with it. And I want you to remember it. And look it up. You know, that's the other thing. Do your research. But this bad boy is like looking at God in a mathematical form. In a mathematical formula. Think I'm kidding? Wait till I get back. I'm going to give you a little bit.
Shall we begin?
This is not a drill. Is that all you got?
Let's begin.
And we're back. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. right here on Block Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us. It's a good way to end your night. Revolutionary Life is what we call the show. And as you know, we look at every aspect of our lives through a revolutionary lens. And that's what we're doing tonight. And as I explained, that when I break this down about our title, guys, Revolutionary Life, I always mention the fact that revolution is change. Nothing else. Nothing but change. And there's one thing constant in this universe. It's change. Things are changing. The revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of that change. Finger on the pulse. So we can take positive advantage of the change. Like riding wave, guys. You either get hit by it if you don't see it coming, or you know it's coming and you ride it. Take you where you want to go. That's revolutionary. You can't stop change. That's reactionary. That's the definition of a reactionary. Or slow it down, hold it back. Just the opposite is the revolutionary, which oftentimes is a catalyst for change. Tonight, Revolutionary Life has taken a revolutionary look at God, at the Creator, at the Universal Logo, at the all there is. Or whatever you have faith or believe created this universe and oversees all the forces in it, all there is in it is a part, whatever you can imagine that to be. We could call it God. You know, God's in some religions, in some ideologies, and sometimes in history, ancient times, often, there were many gods. In fact, there are religions today that have many gods and goddesses in the pantheon of gods. But who are these gods? What does a God look like? Really, all powerful in some ideologies. They see God as everything. It's all powerful. Right? For instance, in ancient Egypt, they saw the sun. Powerful. Right? In ancient times, when you looked up and saw the sun, and then you looked up and saw the moon, one who walks on the earth might wonder, how do those things stay up there without falling? And so you realize, or you decide, or you figure that there must be something holding them there, keeping them from falling. Because they're up in the sky. And we might decide that that's a God doing that holding of that sun in place. And that moon in place so it doesn't fall. So you may have a moon God. It doesn't mean you believe the moon is God. Or you may have a sun God. That doesn't mean you believe the sun is God. You know what I'm saying? God, to the ancient people, must be the force, the power, the force that's able to suspend the sun in space and the planets What holds it, in other words? There must be a force there. A mystical, magical, invisible force. And they call it God. A God in some religions for every planet. You might even find in great in ancient Greek a God for Neptune, called Neptune. Right? Or a God who is in charge of the planets, all the planets, who created them all, one God. Some philosophies, religions believe in one God created everything that we see, everything there is, all there is. So the Allah, or the all that is their God, everything. Exists at the behest of one God. So what does that God look like? Kind of hard to imagine. So I approached it from a mathematical point of view and found a formula that existed. That some brother, a black man, actually, Nigerian, I believe, of the Gullah people, worked this theory out. And it satisfied scientists, and scientifically it's satisfying. But if you're a religious person, this formula is also satisfying in the sense that it describes God. As all there is, unchanging. The one thing that is unchanging. As I said in my previous, as I began here, I said I was talking about revolution, calling it change, and that there's one thing constant in this world. However, the goddess of everything is unchanging. Change happens within the creation, not to the creator. Right. And so the philosophy itself and the African who developed it has been nominated for the Nobel Prize in mathematics. Because if we look at the scientific side of what this formula I'm talking about is, it is the holy grail of many scientists and physicists and astrophysicists, right? Because it deals with the whole universe, everything, big and small, and the forces that hold them together and make them work. Right. Scientists are impressed by this theory. And as a mathematical one, for sure. And they have described it not as God, as I have, not as the theory of everything, all there is. The one. The scientists see the same theory, but they have a different name for it. They're awed by it, as I am. But they called it a unified field theory. Albert Einstein, known to be one of the most intelligent people there were in science, went to his grave working on the unified field theory. And I'll tell you what that is, if you don't know.
Now you'll know. The reason this theory was all that, it was considered the theory of everything. That's why. And
after Albert Einstein's death, several
mathematical professors and enthusiasts and everything else went to work trying to find out this theory of everything. They call it the toe.
And one guy wrote a book called My Big Toe. And it was all a mathematical book about mathematics, about the theory of everything. This was a challenge
to the greatest minds in physics and astrophysics out there. Einstein couldn't figure it out before he passed.
And every other scientist was trying to figure it out. Mathematicians and the like.
Well, the black man who did figure it out, who's nominated now for the Nobel Peace Prize, a Dr. Oyigbo,
I think it is.
Wait, hang on a minute. I know this name. And, Dr. Oyigbo. Hang on. Gabriel
Oyigbo. O-Y-I-B-O. Dr. Gabriel Oyigbo. O-Y-I-B-O.
Check that out. Look some stuff up, guys. That's what you want to look up if you want to know what I'm talking about here. But let me run it down, guys. You see, he talks about having discovered this theory when Einstein and all the other smart guys in Germany and India and Japan and China, all the smart mathematicians around the world who's been working to find out this toe, this theory of everything, this unified field theory. The black man who figured it out, Dr. Oyigbo, he had to go past the European mathematicians. He had to go backwards to ancient Egypt, literally where they screwed it up, where they got it from. You see, he had to use black magic. And let me define that for you. The Greeks who went to Egypt for their education, they referred, when they got there, they understood that the place was called Kemet. And they began calling it the Black Land. Black. Kim. And when they went to this black land, Kemet, they went to be educated in math, in science, in medicine, in philosophy, in technology. And so they would go to a black school and they would enter into a black, what they had never heard of this stuff, guys. I told you, from Greece to the Latin, to the Roman Latin, when it got to the Romans, man, the Romans didn't have a numerical system.
Y'all went to school. You know, you've seen Roman numerals.
They're letters. The great Rome did not have a numerical system. They didn't know how to create one. They used letters. Until
they raided Moor Spain and got hold to the alphabet. I mean the Arabic numerical system, the one you use today.
There was no smart white man somewhere who put the number system together. The ones you use today is called the Arabic numerical system. Are you Arabic? Do you speak Arabic? But that's the number system every scientist, mathematician that you find will do their work with all over this world. The Arabic numerical system. The Arabs didn't discover it. Don't get me wrong. That's the title. Its history can be found in the Indus Valley before the Arabs. Its history is in Africa before the Arabs. It was brought to their proximity via the Blackamoors, or the Moors, M-O-O-R, of Spain. You see, if you look at a map, guys, you have to realize that it's a short walk from Africa to Spain, to the Iberian Peninsula, as it was called. From Algeria, you see, there's the Rock of Gibraltar. The tip of Algeria and the tip of Spain is the gateway into the Mediterranean from the Atlantic. It used to be called the Straits, it used to be called the Pillars of Hercules. The two sides, Spain on one side, now Africa on the other. Because the two land masses coming up from Africa and down from Spain touched, or almost touched. But you passed through them to enter into the Mediterranean Sea. And they were once referred to as the Pillars of Hercules. Today, it's the Straits of Gibraltar. You heard about the Rock of Gibraltar. That's where it is. It's right there. It makes up the Straits of Gibraltar, something called the Straits of Gibraltar. Africa brought this information into the Arab world. And the Arabs sit down and took note. And when the Crusades occurred, when the Romans invaded, when the Holy Roman Empire, not the Romans, when the Holy Roman Empire invaded the Moors, invaded Spain, Moorish Spain, they took books back with them. You know, back in there, this was in your days when the church kept all information. And I told you, in my previous episodes, we talked about this, guys. I told you that the monks in these monasteries, in this church where all the knowledge was kept in Europe at the time, the monks would have to get some of the Jews who lived in peace with Arabs, by the way, in Spain, in Cordoba, Spain, under the Moors. So the monks would get them a Jewish person who could understand both Arabic and Latin, and they would have asked them to translate these mathematic books, and that's how you were taught using the Arabic, not the Latin, not the Roman, but the Arabic numerical system. And it's called that, but the Arabs didn't come up with it. But they learned well. And that the numerical system was then adopted by Western Europe because they didn't have one. Period. So for them, guys, mathematics was a mystery. Especially going back past Rome to the ancient Greeks who visited Egypt.
You remember? Do you remember? I told you. And Alexander's great, Alexander the Great, in his memoirs, he writes that the first time he ever seen lighted streets at night was when he invaded the shores of Africa. You see, in Northern Africa, they were already using oil that literally comes up out the ground. They were already using oil as a fuel, where back in Greece, they were still burning pitch and tar, pine tar, and the like. But when they got to Africa, there was a tower, you call it, a lighthouse, one of the wonders of the world today, they say. Doesn't exist anymore, but it did. That was burning 24/7. Come on now. A Latin's lamp, the lamp you rub to get a genie, a Latin's lamp was an oil lamp. That's North Africa, man. That ain't Greek. The whole story of a Latin's lamp is nowhere near Greece. I mean, it's nowhere near Greece or Europe. At that time, Alexander was blown away. There was a library already there. He named it after himself, but he had never seen a library. He didn't know what a scroll was. Didn't know how to make papyri, the paper, to put to write on. No idea. So this was all a mystery to the Greeks. And so the mystery, the Kemet, the black land, the Greeks had named it the black land. They found out it was called the Black Land. They didn't name it. Kemet. And so they went to learn about these black mysteries. And they started mystery schools. And they called it, and they purposely called it black mysteries. These were all Kemet mysteries in Greek. The Greeks called Kemet mysteries, black mysteries. And you don't know how today you have the word chemistry. We were teaching chemistry. We were teaching such mysterious things to these people. Alchemy, chemi. We was teaching such mysterious things to these people. They call it the black magic or the black mystery. The chem mystery. So when they went to learn chemistry, they found out something that Europeans seem to have forgotten, and that's going to bring me back to this God question when we talk about the black mystery, black magic in ancient Egypt. At least that's what the Greeks thought it was. When I get back, I'm going to tell you what they found. And it got lost. And that this brother Oibo, who just got nominated for the Nobel Prize for coming up with the unified field theory, the theory of everything, had to go back there to get it. When I get back, let me give you a little music. Thank you.
And we're back, guys. You're listening to Revolutionary Light. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. I told you, we're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's a good way to end your day. Tonight, we're going to talk about God. And I told you I've seen it. I think I've seen it. And I explained to you right away that I wasn't talking about visions, guys. I was talking about the all there is, the everything, God, the creator of everything, the unchanging God, the one is where we're going next, guys. Let's talk about the one. I left this conversation telling you about the Greeks and they're going to study the black mystery, the chem mystery, the chemistry. Well, I want you to study it. I'm going to give you a little chemistry. I'm going to tell you what they learned and what they lost. But I got to tell you what they learned. That's what this is all about. Now, you took chemistry in school, hopefully, and some of y'all are chemists, maybe, who are listening. But I ain't going to get into weeds and any chemistry. But you got to stick with me on this just a little bit. This chemistry, this black magic, this black mystery was taught to the Greeks. Now, they were told that there was just one element in this entire existence from which everything came, and that was God. They was told that the chemicals came from God. You came from God. Everything you can experience came from the one. The Europeans, and this could be religious, guys, sure, take it like you want it, but it's also mathematics, it's also chemistry, this is the black magic, the black understanding, the black mystery. The Europeans haven't lost this knowledge of this formula. And I'm going to have you write down this formula. I'll put it in my chat room, by the way. So if you enter my chat, you'll see which formula I'm referring to. So that's the actual mathematic formula, guys. However, the Greeks went to learn chemistry. Their knowledge was lost through the Romans and into Western Europe, flipped on its head. Some of the greatest mathematicians to this day had to work with a flawed system, and I'll tell you why. If you're familiar in chemistry to the periodic table of elements is called the periodic table of elements, guys. If you learned that in school, if you're familiar with it now, if you never heard of it before, if you ever see this chart, this table, it has all the elements being things on this earth in existence that are pure in themselves. They can't be broken down into anything smaller, anything different. They're not made up of two or three things. They're just one thing. Right? You can't break the element lead down into anything but lead all the way to its atoms. The same thing with gold or anything else. Water. Not water.
water turns out to be a molecule built up of two separate atoms. It can be divided. So the elements on the chart are those things that cannot. So of all the things that are mixed in this world, H2O and CO2 and all the things that are, all the chemicals that are mixed to create substances of one kind or another, there are some things that require no mixture to exist. They are elements, and they are used to create other things. You can take an element like hydrogen, and you can add two atoms of an element like oxygen, and you can get H2O, water. An atom of water. Now, you've combined the two. But you can't. You combine nothing to get hydrogen. You can combine nothing to get oxygen. Elements is what they're called. And they are used to make other things. Other things. Phenomena. And so, if you're looking at that, if you know what I mean when I say periodic table of elements, and you can envision that table, the first element on the table has an atomic weight of 1. So it is labeled number 1 on the chart, and it's called, as a name for it, it is given it called hydrogen. Hydrogen. And it's listed on your periodic table of elements from your chemistry class. A table intended to give you a list of all of the pure elements on Earth that they can find, that they can identify or create, even. That's interesting. But not so interesting when you hear this. Egyptians, Chemicians, Kemet, and Kemet, and the chemistry mystery schools, they did not teach that to the Greeks. How the Europeans got this idea of this table of individual elements with their individual properties is not what was taught to the Greeks. It's not what blew their mind. What blew their mind is that the chemistry that they learned in Kemet demonstrated to them how to turn lead into gold. Lead is an element. It's not made up of a lot of other things. It's just one thing. And so is gold, an element. And it'll be found on that chart I mentioned, that periodic gold table I mentioned, of elements. But when they found that you could turn lead into gold, it blew their mind. And they called it the alchemy. They like to use that black term, chem. Because that's where they got it from, guys. Kemet, the black land. Chemistry, the black mystery. Alchemy, the Arabs called it. The Arabs put the al, A-L, on. But it was the black stuff that they were learning. And when they went to the black land, Kemet, they was taught that there were not a period, they was not taught that there was a table of elements. They was taught that there was one element. God, if you want to call it that, of which all elements came. and everything else. You see, the first element on the periodic table is called hydrogen. It is identified, it is labeled with the number 1. And they say, okay, well, this describes its atomic weight. You see, an atom, a name adapted from Kemet, an atom is said to be made up of 3 elements, an electron, a proton, and a neutron. The proton and neutron is in the center, in the egg, in the yolk, in the nucleus, in the middle, in the center of a cell. They're there together, the proton with the positive charge and the neutron. Well, if you got 1 electron, then, and it's negative, of course, and then you're going to have 1 proton, and it's positive, balancing it out, and then you have 1 neutron with no charge. 1 electron, 1 proton, 1 neutron. That's hydrogen, guys. Atom, that's the atom that makes up the first element on the periodic chart of elements. And it's labeled 1 for a reason. 1 electron, 1 neutron. 1 proton. Now, I want you to look at your periodic chart, if you have one. Or if you have an opportunity to look at that chart, you're going to see a lot of elements. You'll see 1, 2, 3 numbers all over the place. More than just hydrogen. But the Egyptians, the Chemeans, did not teach this. They taught that it was just 1. Guys, the next element on the periodic table, next to hydrogen, is helium. All right, and guess what? I have, if everybody's, well, when you get an opportunity, no, actually, number 2 on the chart is lithium. Lithium. Guess what? Hang on a minute. There's 2 charts. Number 2. Boom. Yeah. Okay, so I see what they're doing. Isotopes. Okay, so number 3, I was looking at the chart, guys, and it also listed something called isotopes, but I'm not going to go there. On this chart, basically, on this chart, number 2nd element on the chart is lithium. Lithium. Lithium is a element with 3 electrons. Now, of course, electrons are negative charge. And so holding that atom together, stable, there are 3 in the nucleus in the middle. In the center, there are 3 protons, positive, and of course, 3 neutrons. That's what we're taught, isn't that? If you look at that chart, that's not what the Greeks were taught by the Chemeans. In our chemistry, we said that lithium, or what you now call lithium, was simply three atoms of hydrogen. You remember? You remember? Hydrogen, one electron, one proton, one neutron. And then these Europeans get to lithium and say, oh, lithium is totally different. It has three electrons. So it's a different element. Let's call this lithium. But wait a minute. If it has three electrons and three protons, it is in effect three hydrogen atoms. No more, no less. Different characteristics now. But they all came from the first element, the one, hydrogen, what they call hydrogen. One electron, one neutron, one proton. If it has two electrons, two protons, two neutrons, is it a new element? Or is it three, or is it two hydrogen atoms? Remember hydrogen? The one electron, one proton, one neutron. Well, add another hydrogen atom to that, and you got two electrons, two protons, two neutrons. Add another hydrogen atom to that, and you got three electrons, three proteins, three protons, three neutrons. You got lithium, or what they call lithium, another element. But it's not another element. What was revealed, the alchemy, the way the Egyptians showed them that lead could be turned to gold, was not that gold was some separate element somewhere, that any of the elements, and all, including gold, are made of one. Came from the one, guys. Gold on your periodic chart. Is AU. It's the number AU on your periodic chart. And it's 79 is his atomic number. Check that out. And so it's called a different element because it has 79 electrons.
Is that right? Yeah.
So, wow. What's really going on? Nothing. It's 79 hydrogen atoms. That's just one. There's no periodic. The periodic table of charts is the children. It's the creation. Sprung from. Created by and removed by. The absence or the addition of the one. Now I told you. Now, we're going to get very, very deep into the math, guys, but I want you to know that the mathematical equation I'm keep talking about, the reason we talk, the reason it matches religion and God and the one God theory is because, like the one God, everything returns to it, everything emanates from it. And the formula that I spoke of, I posted in my chat room, is proof of that. Mathematical proof. Now, of course, in ancient Egypt, Kemet, there was an entire school around this idea. This is an entire theology, in fact, this understanding, long, 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 long before the Abrahamic God. even they was codified. The one God theory always existed. The one source. You see, so in a little, in a city called Memphis that sits on the Nile, this city became the center of philosophical study and understandings and theology, if you will. Memphis had the Memphite, what's called the Memphite theory. And if you listen to their creation story, how everything got here, it also demonstrates the mathematical theory that it all came from the one and it all returns back to the one. So tonight, I'm not going to go into the Memphite theology, which we probably should hear a lot about, the Shabaka stone. But this mathematician knows this. This mathematician I mentioned earlier, Dr. Gabriel Oyibo, had to go there to get this. And he's nominated now, guys, for the Nobel Peace Prize for coming up with the theory of everything. The one Einstein and the rest, Einstein died before he could finish, and the rest of the mathematicians have been working on ever since. Now, when they say this, when the mathematicians say the theory of everything, guys, they mean when they call it a unified, you know, in their terminology, it is a unified field or force theory. In other words, we know there are different forces in the universe. We know there's gravity. You jump up and down, you jump up, you come back down. Newton wrote a whole lot on gravity after he got hit in the head with an apple, so to speak. We know that there's electromagnetism. Hell, the light from the sun is electromagnetic waves. And a lot was done with electromagnetism. And your Faradays and all those folks trying to demonstrate this. And so, and other mathematicians, Gauss, G-A-U-S-S, these guys heavy into trying to figure out how to unify all the different forces that they found in the universe. Gravity, electromagnetism, that's something they call a strong force and a weak force within atoms. Then atoms, holding the protons and the neutrons together. So if you got two protons, I'm going to get into that, guys, but check it out. You got to know that positive and positive push each other away. So why is there two neutrons in the atom, in the nucleus of an atom? Or three, or four, or five. Why aren't they pushing each other away? So they come up with other kinds of forces that must be at play. And again, they don't have a name for them. They call them weak and strong forces. But Einstein said all of those forces came from one. They're all related, and they all came from one, and we got to figure out where they came from. That's the unified field theory. And the greatest minds, quote unquote, in the Western European world did not figure it out. An African did. A Nigerian did. And he had to go past Western European math to do it. He ended up in Kemet. And he came back with a nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize in mathematics, a Nobel Prize in mathematics, for coming up with the theory of everything. Dr. Gabriel Oyibo, called it the grand, God's grand theory, God Almighty, grand theory of everything. The scientists just called it the unified field theory, or the TOE, T-O-E, the theory of everything. You'll find that in science. So once you unify all the forces into one, their source, where they all leave and go, where they arise from, and where they return to, their creator, their God. The scientists say they return to one. They return to zero. Well, they return to one. Let me put it that way. To the one. How about that? And
tonight, in mathematics, in a mathematical formula, I saw the one. And there was no way around it mathematically.
And so you'll see a formula if you check my, if you look up Ovibo, you'll find out much, much more. Now, guys, I need to tell you this. If you try to buy the book that this man wrote on this theory, be prepared to pay well over $1,000 for this book. $1,400, something like that. It's a book. Just a book. Ain't no gold in it. It ain't made out of nothing special. In any other book. But you will pay well over $1,000 for this book to read the theory of everything and how it came about. So if you get your hands on one,
let me know. You tell me they're not easy to come by anymore.
And
but if you can find one, it's worth a pretty penny on Amazon. Check it out. I'm going to open my lines up. My phone number is 714, guys. 816-4765.
When I come back, we're going to go into our call-in section. I always put set part of my show aside for call-ins and for your questions, for your comments. I always have a chat room open also. So those who log into my chat can also leave a question or comment, whatever, in my chat. And I'll respond to them in the chat
or online if they like, over there if they like. So I'll be back. And when I do, it'll be your time to shine.
Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
This is not a drill.
Repeat, this is not a drill. Is that all you got?
Let's begin.
Radio. We're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Tonight on Blog Talk, we talked about God. And I told you in the beginning that I thought I had seen him. And I told you I was referring to actually a mathematical formula born out of chemistry, black mystery, the Greeks called it. Chemistry. But the Greeks were taught that there wasn't many, many different elements out there. All different, but they're different characteristics. There's just one element. Everything comes from it. That's how they learn alchemy, the Arabs called it. Al-Black. Mystery. Science. The alchemy was how do you take one element and make it into another? They were taught what was lost, that philosopher's stone you've heard about. This concept of turning lead to gold. That wasn't any mystery to the chemicians, to Kemet. It was a mystery to the invaders of Kemet. When they learned chemistry, they learned that lead had 82 electrons. Gold had 79. They told them to remove 3 hydrogen atoms from the lead, and you would have gold. Add 3 hydrogen atoms to gold, and that's on the periodic table. That substance would not be called lead. That's just one from which everything came. That's just one from which everything returns mathematically and in life, in reality, in the universe, in creation. I saw this demonstrated over and over again mathematically. And I was surprised to learn that I had to get past Western European math to get back to the Greeks and then get back to Kemet, that chemistry they studied. And that took me to Memphis and the Memphite philosophy and the creation story, the one, the Atum. A-T-U-M. I told you we'd talk about that. My lines are open, guys. My phone number is 714-816-4765. 714-816-4765. And you thought the Philosopher's Stone was just a fairy tale. It's your time to shine. we're back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Block Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, our show is on God. I told you I had song. I told you it wasn't a spiritual thing. I had saw it mathematically. And I went to its proofs mathematically. And I found out why the mathematical formula was so popular with the scientists, because it answered also the theory of everything for them, this mathematical formula. They called it the Grand Unified Field Theory. It was Einstein's effort to try to figure out where all the forces of the universe come from. He knew there must be one source of everything. Electricity, magnetism, gravity, all the stuff we run into and live by and guided by, and laws that govern our movement every day and the movement of the planets. Grand Unified Field Theory. The theory of everything. Where does everything emanate from and where does it return to? They search for the God particle and all that. Breaking atoms and colliders, busting atoms up and all that. Trying to answer this question Einstein left after he died, trying to figure it out, died before he could figure it out. Every scientist, mathematician, physicist, astrophysicist, were working on this theory. A black man, a Nigerian of the Gala people, figured it out. Though he was a mathematician himself, he went past European mathematics. He had to go back past Newton, Faraday, those guys, the Western European scientists we hear about. He went back to the Greeks and what the Greeks called the black mystery, the chemistry, and the alchemy. The Arabs called it. And there he learned this answer to the unified field theory. He was able to prove the one. For religion's sake and for mathematics and scientific sake, they both can agree with this mathematical theory. Theorem. I'm sorry. It's not a theory. It was a theory while Einstein and the rest were trying to figure it out. But now that it's been figured out, it's a theorem. A theorem has a proof. You can work with it and come back to the same thing every time. Every time you try to make a change in this theory, your equal sign will equal zero. No change. No matter what you do, guys, it will equal zero. If you wrote down 2 plus 3 minus 5, on the other side of that equal sign will be what? Zero. And that's the way this theory works. It returns everything back to the one. And everything emanates out of one. Mathematically. It's a trick. The brother's name is Gabriel Oyibo. O-Y-I-B-O. The creation story he learned of and worked with in Egypt and Kemet that helped in him understanding this theory was the Shabaka stone. A stone, a piece of rock, except it has inscriptions on it. This was Egypt before the first Greek, or Hyksos, or Persian. A Roman. Or Arab. And he studied the Memphite theology of the time in ancient Kemet. And it had its own creation story. But it was one that was mathematically the answer to his question. The answer to the grand unified field theory that baffled all of the European scientists. He's currently nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. His book costs well over $1,000 on Amazon. I suggest you read it. If you can. If you can get your hands on a copy. They're available. But you will pay, as far as I can tell, you will pay well over $1,000 to get a copy of a book. Nothing but a book. Pages, just like any other book. Except the contents will cost you $1,000 to read. Well over that. On the other hand, you can look them up in other sources on the internet, YouTube, all those places. I got a little time, guys. My line is still open. My phone number is 714-816-4765. I also have my chat room open. And if you want to pop into my chat, if you have a question or comment, you can put that into my chat. It's your time to shine. English, Latin based, let me tell you. Also, let's see, on Saturday between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., I also teach a class. This is a computer IT class. People bring their equipment in and everything, and we familiarize them with their equipment, educate them on its power, what it's capable of, what it's not capable of. We give them tips and things about how to make your life easy using that thing rather than making it hard. We work with smart TVs, all your technology. And so check that out. So if you're interested in getting better hold of the technology that you got your hands on, making it do more for you, or at least learning what it can do and can't, come on down. 1423 Everest Presley Boulevard. If you're there on the weekends, between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., I'm going to be teaching a class. If it's Saturday, it's computers. If it's Sunday, it's Spanish. And while you're there, if you're still paying a dollar for a bottle of water at some Starbucks somewhere, come on down to the Java Complex and get a gallon clean with a bonus. It's alkaline. Don't forget, cancer loves an acidic body. For that same dollar, come on down and get you some clean alkaline water. Also, we got that black seed oil. If you don't know what that is, look it up. And you can look it up in Holy Scriptures, the Quran, or the Holy Bible. It's been around that long. And scientists still swear by its benefits. Come on down. We got the seeds. We got the oil. 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard, the Java Complex. And thank you all for listening again tonight. This is Revolutionary Life. And I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you never know what the subject might be, so if there's a little follow button on your screen, if you hit follow, then you might get a heads up on what the next presentation will be. And right, and if you miss it, that's okay. All of my presentations are archived. Every one of them will be on demand, including this one in about an hour or so after we end our show. All right? So, and then, and of course, anytime. You don't have to wait Monday. You can wait. You can go in Sunday and listen to any of my episodes, whether I'm on the air or not. I thank you guys for listening in and to another night of Revolutionary Life. And as we end our presentation tonight, I say what I always do. Practice being fearless and having no doubts. No doubt. None. If you're fearless, everything that feeds on fear will feed somewhere else. Y'all have a good night, and thank you for listening in. See you tomorrow night.